Welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. Stay tuned for singing and the morning message. Good morning and welcome to Christ Fellowship Bible Church radio program. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Christ Fellowship Bible Church is an independent church that serves the Chrisfield Marion Station area, and we meet at 5910 Chrisfield Highway here in Marion Station. Our Sunday mornings begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m. Then following Sunday school, our worship service starts at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you come out today since it's only 8:30. You've got plenty of time to join us. Brother Gene Ward is going to be bringing the message for us this morning in my absence, but look forward to that. So come out and join us at 10 o'clock this morning for our morning worship. Tonight we'll be coming back at 6 o'clock for our evening worship service. Got a good group lined up for singing and the preaching of the word. Brother Mike Harrison Sr. will be bringing the message this evening, again in my absence, and I pray that you'd come out and join us as we look forward to that as well. I'm going to be on Tangier this week, preaching revival at the New Testament Church, so I'd ask that you would pray for me and the group there on Tangier as we look to honor the Lord in those revival services. And if you just happen to be coming by Tangier, please come on out. This service begins 7 o'clock each night at the New Testament Church there on Tangier. This week we will not be having Bible study on Tuesday evening, but we will be having our Wednesday morning down at the nursing home. That starts at 10 o'clock, and everybody is welcome to join us for that as well. It's either on the second or third floor there at the Taws Nursing Home. So, with those things in mind, I'd like to give out a song this morning. Brother Dallas Marshall sang this some time ago, but it was just good stuff, and I want to bring that back to our attention, the message that he brought in that song.
I've been held by the Savior. I felt fire from thank you.
if you know it.
Was Brother Dallas Marshall bringing for us "All My Hope Is in Jesus." And friends, no truer words than that, because that's all the hope we've got in this life and in the life to come. Right now, I've got a message that I preached on last week about that of blessed are the meek, for the meek will inherit the earth.
And that's why when Jesus, when we come to him today, and Jesus is teaching things like those that would inherit this, that those that would be part of the kingdom, that those that would be blessed. This was kind of taking them aback because they were expecting a charismatic figure, one who would stand up and be a strong military leader, one who would be dynamic in how he would deliver. But here when Jesus speaks about people that are blessed being poor in spirit, people that are blessed who would mourn, people here when he comes that are those that are meek would be blessed. That was not their idea of who their Messiah should be. Even for the Essenes, those that lived that that monastic type life out in the desert wanting to cut themselves off, they were looking for someone more. But here Jesus says that blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. That's not the Messiah they were looking for. And that's why we see that there was so much confusion about Jesus being the Messiah, because they had a mindset. They had formulated in their mind, not so much based upon the Word of God, even though the Word said that there would be a Messiah, but that's pretty much where it ended. They forgot to really to see what this Messiah would look like. And if they saw it in, like I say, Isaiah 40 up through 60, they would try to just gloss over that and make justification for why Isaiah would say such things. But he does. He says that the meek are the ones that will inherit the earth. Now, we pause here, and we have to remember a few things when we get right back to good eschatology, that the study of last things. When we speak about heaven, our views of heaven is this celestial place of which God abides, and it certainly is. It's a place where the Bible teaches us it's the streets of gold and those types of images that we have within the Scripture. But keep in mind that at the end of all time, that what God is going to do, that the Bible says that God himself, when we talk about the meek inheriting the earth, and it's not so much that we're talking about something like dominionism today, as some sects of Christianity would say, that the church itself is going to take over every aspect of the earth. Not until that of Christ's second coming will that occur. And not until the very end of time will that occur. Because we know that the Bible teaches us that God himself, Peter speaks about it, that all the earth, everything that we know will be dissolved in a fervent heat. That all of which God had created in the beginning, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth that will be established. That everything itself will be recreated all over again. Everything will be brand new. Even Jerusalem itself, the Bible says that as John saw a new Jerusalem coming out of a heaven, adorned as a bride for her groom. that there would be a new Jerusalem that would come to earth. And you and I, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, that we will be partakers of that. Not that we will be as celestial beings up in some kind of in the heavenlies, but the Bible says that there is coming a time when you and I, that we will be gathered back upon the earth in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, all of that, we will be a part of that. And the meek are the only ones that will inherit it. Now, I pause here to make sure that we understand that, friends, just because a certain individual or individuals may be meek, that doesn't make them saved. There are certainly many meek people that we have in this world, but that doesn't mean that they themselves will be a part of that celestial, that end-time kingdom. Because we know that one must have faith in Jesus Christ. We understand that. We must be repentant of sin and put our hope and faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. But what does happen when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you and I are given, and through experience that we know, we are given the Spirit of God. God's Spirit indwells the believer when you and I are converted. That's why we have assurance that we have, that we are the children of God, that the Spirit of God testifies to our spirit that we are who we claim to be, that we are who we are. And in that, as the Bible says, that the Spirit of God is our seal. He is our guarantee that when we are converted and come to faith in Christ, that the Spirit of God gives us a new nature. We are regenerated. The word that John uses, born again. We are born from above. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Paul would say. So with that, since we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, since we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, there are characteristics of the believer that will be evident. And one of those characteristics is going to be meekness. One of the characteristics of a born-again believer is meekness. That if people are truly converted, that will be an outworking of who they are in their daily living before the Lord. And that's what we see in Christ time and time again when we see the Lord Jesus Christ setting for us the example of who you and I are, how we are to live our lives out in this world. We see one of those things being meek. Now, what is meek? Meek is we to define it, the word pras. And the Strong's, if you have a Strong's, you can go there. And Strong's, the definition is gentle, meek. The positive moral quality of dealing with people in a kind manner with humility and consideration. So when we get down to it, it's those that when we speak of this word that Jesus used here, blessed are the pras, the gentle, the meek. Those that are humble to a certain extent. But when we speak along this word, it also describes soothing medication. So some of us, we take some soothing medication at times. We need, when we've got these colds, these itchy throats, scratchy throats, we need something that's going to soothe. You know, I don't know if you take like the little drops, what were they called? Yeah, them kind of things, Londons or whatever they are, and you pop them in. They were honey-flavored and cherry-flavored and whatever else. And they would soothe your throat. It would be soothing to us. Also, it would describe, when we talk about that literature outside, the word was used to describe a soft breeze. How soothing that is. We think about the summertime and being able as a kid. I remember before we had air conditioning and that's why we stayed outside, I guess, because it was cooler outside. It was inside in the summer. So you'd find a tree to get under after you were done playing, and you'd have a little breeze that would pick up. And that breeze certainly was soothing. Just a nice, gentle breeze, how it made you feel. But it also, when we deal with this word, it also describes that of a horse that is broken. You have a wild horse brought to the trainer. The trainer is trying to break him, that he would be of good use, that he would be able to to pull the plow or to ride or to pull the chariot or whatever the case is going to be. But that describes that of a horse that has been broken. He's no longer wild, but he's gentle. He's been made for work, useful work. He's been trained that way. For the believer, when we start to describe again what meekness is, it certainly comes back to gentleness. And Jesus is, he is the epitome of gentleness. When we read about Jesus' life in the Gospels and we see how Jesus was treated by people and how he handled those people, with a lot of compassion, with a lot of love, with a lot of mercy, with a lot of grace, with a lot of gentleness. It's a way of life for the believer. For you and I, if we come in, if we come to the faith, and we're talking about whether I'm saved or not, whether there are markers that we've spoken about before, those things that target us as believers, that we should be a people that are meek, a gentle people. Today we don't see that much, do we? When we look around this world and we talk about inheriting the earth, the meek will inherit the earth, we don't see a lot of gentle people. We see a lot of people that just want to have it their way. If they don't get it their way, you know, if it's not like Burger King or whatever, they would throw a fit. We don't have a lot of people that when they're confronted about certain issues that remain gentle, but they look to defend themselves, they look to argue, they look to just to slander. Gentleness is something that marks the believer. Ephesians, if you turn there with me, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, speak along these lines of meekness, of gentleness, of lowliness. The Bible says in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 1, he says, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." So he speaks to the believers, you and I as the born-again believers, just as he was speaking to the church at Ephesus today, God himself continues to speak to all of us as born-again believers in Christ. That you and I are to walk worthy of the calling of which we have in Christ Jesus. There is a calling for all of us, just not a calling for a preacher to be behind a pulpit, just not for someone to be called to be a deacon or an elder or for this or for that, but there is a calling for all people to walk worthy of God. To walk worthy. And what does that mean for us? It means to be obedient. To walk a faithful walk with God. That's the calling for all of us. Obedience. Obedience. And what does he say? He says, "With that, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." With what? With all, verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How does he say that we are to walk this worthy walk of which we have with the Lord? It is to be with all lowliness and gentleness. Gentle people. A people, as Strong's would put it again, that quality of dealing with people in a kind manner with humility and consideration. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could go to some of the stores of which we go into and we could find some people that would treat us that way in a kind manner, those of the service representatives for those particular establishments, that they would treat us in a way, a kind manner, with a lot of humility and consideration, instead of it being like it's a burden for them to even look at you at times, even like hoping you'll not ask them, "Can you show me where such and such is?" It's like, don't even bother me with that. But wouldn't it be a wonderful place to be, where we find individuals that would be more than glad, and they would do it with a lot of compassion, with a lot of humility, in a kind manner. Titus also, as we turn back to Titus, that's just past that of the book of Timothy, the 2 Timothy, you'll find it. The book of Titus there in the third chapter, first couple of verses there. The Bible says in Titus 3, verse 1, it says, "Remind them," and again, meaning the church, he says, "remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work." It's good, just good Bible teaching. Subject to authorities, ready to obey, ready for every good work. And then it says in verse 2, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. To speak evil of no one. That itself is would be a whole other sermon topic today. But he goes on to say to be peaceable, gentle, showing humility. Not that I have to puff myself up, not that I've got to laud over all my accomplishments, but we walk in humility and we're gentle with other people, even people that may disagree with us. I do want to point out, though, as we look at Jesus Christ, that meekness itself was not weakness, okay? Oftentimes we consider people being meek or gentle as weak people. They just don't have a backbone. But actually, when we get down to, as we go back to what we've already spoken about, speaking about the word itself, meekness, we are talking along the lines of this idea of a horse full of power, able to do, to drag carts, large stones, anything that we that can be hooked to him, he can pull. But what that is, when we speak about meekness, that is power that is in control. It's power in control. You've been granted, as a born-again believer, you've been granted great power. Not as some would think, that we can cast out every demon that's under every rock, that we can walk through every hospital, and just by dropping our handkerchief down on the floor, that all the people in the hospital will be healed. That's just foolishness. But you and I have been granted great power in the person of Christ. You and I, so much more so than those that were living in the Old Testament, because some would say, oh, if I only lived back there and seen all that God would do, then I would certainly believe. But as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've been granted way much more power than those individuals had at that time. You've been endued with the Spirit of God in your life. And being endued with the Spirit of God, that gives you power over temptation. That gives you power to lead a life that is honoring and pleasing to the Lord. That is one of the blessings when we talk about the blessedness of serving the Lord, of walking in faith with God. That is one of the blessings of which we receive from God, is an empowering of the Spirit of God in our lives. That you and I are able to walk faithfully with God. Because certainly people, they want to blame their shortcomings, their sin. They can blame it on the devil. They can blame it on this. But or blame it on, I'm only human. That's a good excuse that we try to justify at times sin. But if we are truly born again, there is no justification for it. We can blame this one or blame that one, but the Bible makes it clear that you and I have been given a power from God to walk faithfully, to walk in a gentle spirit, a meek spirit. But again, that meekness is not weakness. We've been empowered by God to serve Him above all, to carry a message of hope and grace and faith to the world. And friends, that's not for the lighted heart. That's not for those friends who are just kind of roll over at any moment when something may happen. But that calls for those who certainly are bold in their faith, but also as they demonstrate it, they are still gentle. They're not arrogant with it. The Bible, if you turn with me back to Proverbs, run across this particular verse, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. It says this, it says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. See, that's power under control. James would say, he says that the one who is able to control his tongue, to paraphrase it, he speaks, if you're able to control your tongue, your religion is perfect. But see, we understand, all of us today, I'm pretty sure, we understand how hard it is to control your tongue. That takes a lot of power, doesn't it? We can talk about, you know, moving mountains with our faith. We say, oh, I've got the faith. If we just have the faith of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. James says, if you can just control your tongue, your religion is perfect. Because, see, that takes power. That takes power. And being gentle with people takes power. It takes power when you're confronted, when people are giving you a hard time, when things are not going the way you had seen them, that they should be planned out before you. And it's hard. And that's why, again, that meekness itself is not weakness. Because as the proverb writer again notes, as he said, that he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Because that man can control himself. That person, that man or woman, they can control that of who they are. In times of conflict, they are able to stop. And they can be slow to anger. It's better than those who are arrogantly proud about all their accomplishments and what they're able to do. And he who rules his spirit. And that's not done again by our own accord. Because once, when we were lost, when sin had its way in our lives, when we were just running around doing everything that our flesh wanted to do, we didn't have any power. There was no power to be able to control our spirit. Our flesh just ruled. But now, as a born-again believer, the Bible says, as Paul, he said, now there's a war that goes on inside of me at times. There's this war that my flesh wants to do this, but the Spirit of God wants me to go this way. And there's this pulling, like a tug of war almost, that they're contrary to one another, because the Spirit of God is saying, this is the path that you should take. This is the right way. This is the way to go. And the flesh at times, like, man, that seems a little too hard for me. And for those that don't like to like conflict, they're saying, oh, that's just going to put me in a lot of conflict. I don't want that. But again, as the Bible teaches us, the one who rules his spirit better than the one who is able to take a city. We've got some powerful people in this world. We've got some people who can do some miraculous, wonderful things. They are just amazing, and it's all at your fingertips now. You can look on your phones or your computer, and you can see all these people doing these wonderful, miraculous, it seems like amazing things that they're able to do, these great feats. But the Bible is clear for those of us that are able to be gentle. Those of us, again, as noted, who are in a kind manner, with a lot of humility, being considerate, that is more powerful. There's a power that rests in meekness. So again, meekness is not going to be weakness, and also it's going to be the opposite of violence and vengeance. It's no need for us, friends, when we speak about this whole idea, when we stand for the things of God, when we stand for Christ, that you will have people that will just abhor you for that. Even at times, there are those that would even, they'll rail against you for it. They'll say things about you, and that's what we'll get into weeks to come. But it's noted that we understand that our defense is in Christ. How easy is it for us when people want to slam us, when they want to say things bad about us, how easy is it for us just to quickly want to lash back? It's easy. That doesn't take any strength. That doesn't take any power. Anybody can do that. The wicked do that. I did that before I was converted, but to stand firm without taking vengeance, without being violent. Because the Bible, again, it teaches us that we have a great Savior, Jesus Christ, and He set before us an example.
And dear friends, that's all we've got time for this morning. If you would like to have this sermon or any other in its entirety, because this went on for a little bit longer, please feel free to call me at 410-623-2401. Drop a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838. Look us up on our website, www.christfellowshipbiblechurch.com. Or you can go to our page that has all our podcasts on it, christfellowshipbiblechurch.fireside.fm. Well, thank you for tuning in on WBEY 97.9 and listening to our program heard here every Sunday morning at 8:30. God bless you all, and have a wonderful week in the Lord Jesus Christ.
And I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are.